You're listening to Talking Baseball with Ed Randall, presented by MLB.com. He's Ed Randall. He's talking baseball. What more do you need?
Hi, everybody. I'm Ed Randall, Big Ed and Nora's baby boy, and welcome back to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. Chances are, each and every person listening has been affected in some way by cancer. Maybe it's a friend or a family member, or maybe it's you. We all know cancer does not discriminate. It knows no race. It knows no age. It knows no economic standing. And so it is with our guest. Rectal cancer cost him the 2016 season. But there was no one happier on opening day this season as he was back coaching third base for the Texas Rangers, 4 months after being declared cancer-free. We are honored to bring to the show the very inspiring story of Tony Beasley. Tony, it's great to have you. Thank you so much for your kindness. And can you describe what this past opening day meant to you?
You know, it was unbelievable. You know, when you have something taken away from you and something that you're passionate about, and you have to kind of stand on the sidelines and watch things just kind of go about, and you're not in the game, so to speak. And that's what last year was like. So, you know, going through the treatments and all of that, and just this opening day, first of all, to have the opportunity to sing the national anthem was a tremendous honor. And when I ran back to third base for the first time in a year, it was unbelievably gratifying, and I'm so appreciative of the opportunity that I have. And you know, I just recognized that, you know, there were 30 big league third base coaching jobs,
right?
And I'm fortunate enough to have one of them. And what a blessing! And it was gone for a year, but I thank God that I was able to get back on the saddle and get back to work again. So I'm just grateful.
But the image of you going to third base on opening day was probably something that sustained you during the time in which you were going through the treatments.
Yes, yes. You know, I looked at the treatments when I was diagnosed. I said I had a choice, and it was an obstacle, an opportunity, and I chose that it would be an opportunity for me. I didn't want to be defeated, or I just decided that, you know what, I'm gonna surrender this over to the Lord, which I did, and I'm a man of faith, and I was walking by faith, and I just believed I would be healed, and that things would turn around, and I would get back to doing what I love doing. But this was an opportunity for me to let people know that God is real, and that God can do anything if we believe. And so that was my challenge last year, and that's what I was faithfully engaging every day. I was taking this fight one day at a time, and I was just thankful that I was able to get through it, and God, you know, he did things that I couldn't do. So I'm just so grateful this morning for the opportunity to express this message, and thank you for having me this morning.
No, it's my honor. For you to call this experience an opportunity rather than an obstacle, that, Tony, though, to a lot of people listening to this, that's a curious perspective on something as serious as cancer.
Yes, you know, but, you know, I think anything that we endure in our life, we're gonna decide, is it going to be victorious over me, or am I going to get through this? And I think the attitude, the mindset that you take to anything that happens in life, that's probably the number one thing that can give you the opportunity and a chance to get through it. I could have said, you know what, I'm sick. I have cancer. This is it. And just laid around and given into that. And I'm sure that my body would have shut down in a sense. Or the opportunity for me, and I spoke to our players last year, was to be who I said I am. I said that I was a man of faith. My favorite verse in the Bible is 2 Corinthians 5:7, where we walk by faith and not by sight. Well, what an awesome opportunity to live that out. No pity party for me. I asked them never to feel sorry for me. Don't ask why, or I can't believe this is happening to you, because there's, like you said, when you open up, there's no one that's exempt from things happening in their life. And I've told players for years that life is 10% what happens to you, 90% how you deal with it. So I asked the Lord not to move my mountains, but just give me the strength to climb. And that's what God did last year, you know. And I didn't have to worry about it. I just faithfully just, look, Lord, this is yours. You know, this battle is not mine. It's yours. And I'm just believing healing in the name of Jesus. And I claimed that, and I held to that. And I tell you, I didn't lose a night's sleep.
You had a great quote. We're with Tony Beasley of the Texas Rangers. You said, if you live long enough, there'll be some sort of tough times we didn't expect. None of us are exempt. And then we learn who we are.
Yes.
That's an extraordinary statement.
Yeah, but that's, you know what, how many people go through life and profess something and really stand firm on beliefs and cliches and phrases or what have you, but never really are you tried to see the depth of your soul. Do I really believe that? And that was the opportunity for me, and that's how I just went about looking at it. And maybe that sounds far-fetched. I don't know. I told a reporter last year that, you know, most people would think that this is the worst year of my life. Actually, last year was the best year of my life because I learned so much about who I am and whose I am and about my family and all of that. It's just brought a lot of things to fruition and gave me so much clarity about life and how to enjoy each day.
And you said, I didn't allow myself to deal with tough days. I refused tough days.
I did. Yeah, I did. You know, I just, and my wife can attest to that, because no matter what was coming up, radiation, chemotherapy, I went through chemotherapy, three rounds of chemotherapy, and then the radiation was a 5.5-week period where I had chemotherapy coupled with that, and each day was its own. And the doctors were telling me that, you know, this, I would have this side effect, I would have that side effect, and I said, no, I'm not having any side effects, because I had surrendered my body over to the authority of the blood of Christ, and I said, no weapons that are formed against me shall prosper. I said, the cancer, the chemo, and it will go into my body, but it will do what it was designed to do. It will not harm any good thing within me. Any good cells, all of the good tissues will not be harmed. It will only do what it was designed to do. I spoke to it, and I believed it through the word of God. And I didn't allow myself to believe that anything negative would happen. I didn't have any side effects from chemotherapy. My doctors were amazed by that. The radiation, you know, through 5.5 weeks, I wasn't fatigued. I wasn't down and out. I walked every day to my treatment. From the beginning to the end, it was just an unbelievable blessing how God brought me through it. But I think I allowed myself to activate that through having faith.
Tony Beasley, the third base coach with the Texas Rangers, with us on Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. Tony, take us back to when did you first know that something was wrong?
Well, you know, the first year in 2015, probably around August, towards the end of the season, I'm gonna be blatantly honest with you here. I'd never had hemorrhoids in my life. I was 49 years old, and so all of a sudden I had a hemorrhoid flare up, and I said, "What is this?" I didn't know, so I spoke with the team doc, and he checked me and everything, and he told me that I had hemorrhoids and what have you. So he, you know, gave me ointments and creams, and he said they will subside. And I said, okay. And then I spoke to some people on the coaching staff. They'd had them as well. And they said, you know, it's just kind of like a thing of life. And I went home after the season ended. And I was just in, you know, uncomfortable. And they didn't go away. And after a while, I told my wife, I said, I would think that, you know, hemorrhoids should leave at some point. I said, I think it's safe to just get checked. And I was having some blood in the stool. But I was told that that was because of the hemorrhoids, like bleeding. And so I kind of just went with that. But actually, that part had been happening probably 2 or 3 years prior, just nothing major, but periodically. And so that's the one I say I ignored some signs. I ignored that. And so eventually I ended up getting checked, and the doctor thought I had an internal polyp, and he would check it, and he said, let's just do a colonoscopy, and I will find a polyp and band it for you, and it'll be all good. And I said, fine. So, and I went and had the procedure, and that's when they found a tumor in my rectum. And the doctors immediately thought that it was, you know, cancerous, because he said, based on his experience, I'm pretty sure. So they did the biopsy, and everything came back. It was true that it was there. And so that's when I found out. That was January of 2016, the beginning of the year, basically. And so,
you began with what kinds of treatments?
Well, yeah, the first treatments I had, when they did scans, I went to MD Anderson in Houston. The lymph nodes around were inflamed. It hadn't spread, but they were inflamed, so the doctors were concerned about that. They didn't want that to spread, so they said, let's do chemotherapy first to knock that down, to calm those lymph nodes down, and to make sure that nothing gets into the lymph nodes. And so I did four rounds of chemotherapy while I was in spring training in Arizona last year. And that seemed to do what they expected it to do. And then after that, I took 6 weeks off to allow the chemotherapy out of my body, and then I started radiation with the chemotherapy pill for 5.5 weeks. And I did that, and that was to target, obviously, just to target the tumor and to reduce the tumor. After that was done, I had a 10-week period of nothing, just let everything get out of my system again.
Right.
And then I was to go back and have the surgery, which I did. Now, the thing about that was I was praying and believing God and quoting scriptures over my life. And I went back to MD Anderson, and my surgery was December 10th. Well, I'll take it back. I did another round of chemotherapy before the surgery. I did the last four rounds of chemotherapy because it was an eight-cycle treatment, but they broke it into two cycles, four and four. And so I did that right towards the end of the season. The playoffs had ended. We had lost, and then I stayed here in Texas and did it, three more rounds of chemotherapy. I went home, and I think it was in October. The surgery was December the 5th, which is my birthday. 50 years old that day. And I'll never forget that day.
Tony Beasley with us from the Texas Rangers, back from rectal cancer, coaching third base. You and Jeff Banister were minor league teammates about 25 years ago. He took you with him from Pittsburgh when he got the Texas job, and he had survived cancer, bone cancer, in his leg as a teenager. What role did Jeff play in your recovery?
Yeah, well, you know, one thing about Danny, you know, he's a tough guy, and I knew that what he had been through. I've known him for a while, and he was support for me. You know, he knew what I was dealing with. He didn't know all of the treatments I would have because, you know, we had two very different types of cancer,
right,
and different types of treatment, and so much time has elapsed since when he had cancer, when I had to deal with it last year, that treatments and technology and so much has changed. But he understood the mindset that you needed to get through things. And one thing I can say about Danny, he gives you love, and he gives you tough love. You know, he gives you both at the same time. He gives you your normal type of love that you need, but you know, he can give you, you know, he just can be honest with you. He's blatantly honest with you about what you're going to deal with and how you're going to have to fight it and get through it. He would not allow me to feel sorry for myself, and I can tell you that. And that's the thing about him that I love, you know. And not that I had any desire or plans to feel sorry for myself, but that whole spring training when I started the treatments, I was living with him. And he did. He said, let's go. Like, if at the ballpark, I'm at work here, so go to work. You know, like, you know, just say, just stay in here, just stay out of the sun. And no. You know, that's because I said I want to do life normal. I want to do every day as if there's nothing going on. And he said, you know, that's what you say you want, then that's what you're going to get. And I love that. And that's what I needed, because I didn't want people feeling sorry for me. I didn't want people just, you know, telling me things that I wanted to hear. Tell me what I need to hear. Push me, challenge me. And that's what he did. He challenged me, and he took my mind away from the thoughts that maybe I would have had if I hadn't been with him.
And your survival was really about being there for your wife, Stacy, and your son, Tony Jr.
Yes, you know, I was 49, and I turned 15 in December. I turned 50 in December. But you know, I have a wife and a son that depend on me, and I was not thinking about there was a possibility that I was going to leave them, and that cancer was going to be the deciding factor in how my life ends. I was determined with that, and. That and just believing what God says in His Word, and I just whose report are you going to believe? And I just choose to believe God's report. You know that, you know He promised that He would give us 70, and that's 70. So I ain't got there yet. So I'm claiming my 70.
Good for you.
I wouldn't allow you to deal with more than you can bear, and I just know that God is able and bigger than anything I could endure. So, my wife and my son, you know, their support and their love for me, and the way we've grown in their faith from watching how I was able to go through the situation has just benefited us all.
Tony, is life different now?
Life is different. You know, I've always enjoyed life. I've always tried to appreciate life and everything and everyone. However, you realize that, you know, you just pass by a lot of things and you don't notice just subtle things in life we take for granted. Even myself, you know, I took things for granted, a lot of things that I didn't recognize, you know, just with your family. You think that, you know, you're young and you're healthy and you're going to be able to provide and be there and comfort. And, you know, my son loves hunting and, like, sometimes he's like, hey, can you go? And I'm like, no, I don't like deer hunting, you know, but. Go. I mean, that's my son. I've got one son. So just things like that, like spending quality time on stuff like that, you know, because it's his interest. It doesn't have to be something that I love. It's something that he's interested in, and he wants to spend time with his father. I need to be there, and I need to make sure of that, you know, and just recognizing my wife now as, you know, my greatest friend and my greatest support. I mean, it just, not that I didn't love her, but just you get to a point where I think we get stale, and sometimes we get a little gray with how we go about showing our appreciation to people that are closest to us. Mm-hmm. And I was reminded of that, and I was aware of that because they were the two most important people in my life last year, and what they thought and how they felt was what I cared most about. And,
You've done so much on the baseball field as a player, as a coach. You have performed the national anthem in ballparks. This is after having sung in church. Are wins and losses, especially losses, are they different now for you, for the Texas Rangers?
You know, I will say this. Because of the competitive nature of what I do, you know, wins are always going to be important. Are they different as far as perspective on them?
Exactly.
You know, yes. I guess I don't dwell on this. I'm not going to dwell on things. And, you know, what's done is done. My focus now, as far as the game is, you know, I want us prepared. I want us to play quality baseball, and you know. When we have the opportunity to do something on the field, let's do it and let's take advantage of it. Evaluate the game, whether we win or lose, and is there something I can do better in the area that I'm dealing with infielders, or something could I have done better coaching or with signs or dictating how we maneuver the bases and things during the game. I evaluate that. That's professionally, and that's That's something I'm passionate about. I want to be great at my job. But however, when I leave the field, that's it. I'm done. Baseball's over. I don't want to take it home. You know, my wife doesn't need the game. My son doesn't need the frustrations of the game. So I don't carry that anymore. So it's different in that perspective. You know, as you know, it's over. It's done.
Yeah.
I'm not at work anymore. Baseball's not who I am. It's what I do.
And that's well said.
Yes.
Last thing, from your ordeal, what is your message to us?
Well, you know what, my message to everyone is that, you know, don't allow, you know, life to just beat you up. And I know life gets tough. I know it does. I know situations come up that you just couldn't fathom could happen. But get through it and go through it and strap up your boots and put it on. Put your breastplate on and go to work and say, you know what? This too shall pass, because nothing lasts forever. You know, pain is temporary. And I just believe that whatever you go through, think about how can I honor God through this situation. If you are a believer, if you believe in God, then how can I honor God through this situation? I think that gives you a different perspective. And try to find strength beyond yourself. Just don't think that I can or I will, because it's not. It's not about us. And what we do in our life is not about us. And you know, through this has been an opportunity for me to impact people and to give something that I couldn't give before. You know, if we've never been through anything in our life, how can we help someone that's going through something similar? And for me, that's it. And I mean, I want to make a difference and be a difference maker. I ask God to increase my territory. You know what He did? Did He do it the way I probably would have designed it? No, but He did. He gave me what I asked for.
And you were chosen. Tony, what an inspiring story. Thank you, sir, for your kindness. So that'll do it for Tony Beasley and myself on MLB.com. If you're on the move, thanks for the ride. And thanks for listening to Ted Randall's Talking Baseball.